Blog Talk Radio.
All we want is you. Take over. Take over. By nothing, nothing else but you. All we want is you. Take over, take over. Till we are consumed by nothing, nothing else.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome back to As a Kid Radio Show. This is your host, August Crenshaw, and I'm excited, of course, to be back to see what it is that God is going to basically reveal to us today and what kind of practical conversations are we going to have in reference to our walk with God. So I'm glad everybody's here with us. If you're listening on the internet, I always love to give that number out just in case you have to call and get on the go. It's 347-838-9366. Again, the call-in number is 347-838-9366. I'm hoping that everybody had a fabulous weekend. And before we begin, let's just go ahead and start off with prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for waking us up this morning. We thank you, God, for being God. We thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh. We thank you that you give us everything that we need. And, God, you even happen to give us the things that we want. We pray, as your word has said, Lord, that your kingdom come, God, and that we continue to be endowed with your ways and your wisdom, that this mind that's in us, that it be the mind that is also in Christ Jesus. Let everything that is ministered today, Lord, be accurate according to your will, not because of anything fancy being said, God, but just by the power of the Holy Spirit, that people receive revelation, God, and strengthen their walks with you. So, Lord, we just thank you and we praise you for being who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. So you guys already know I almost always have some kind of scenario, something that went down, a conversation or something that stimulates or motivates me to talk about something on the radio show. Because I could want to talk about one thing, but I honestly believe that what the people want to hear is what I should be talking about, you know, unless the Lord tells me I need to be talking about something that y'all don't necessarily want to hear, ha, ha, ha. But anyway, I had this conversation via Facebook. A gentleman in my church, I love him dearly, he is always asking questions. And the kind of questions he asks, they are those, really make you have to think about your walk or where you stand with God questions. They're also those kind of questions that make you say, I better really think before I answer this. And so what ends up happening is he makes me dig into the scriptures. Well, his question basically went something like this. If God's grace is sufficient, then is it basically not right or is it wrong to be praying for material things or for expected outcomes? So I got to thinking. I said, you know what? There's a lot of controversy going on with the church and as it pertains to money. And the question is, how are we supposed to pray, and can we or should we ask God for material things or expected outcomes? Now, he kind of lumped both of those in together, and I personally think that they should, be separated, that you should not lump an expected outcome with material things. And so let me break it down to you why I said that. As far as how I feel about praying for material things, I don't. And I technically don't think that we should. Now, I'm not saying that if you do pray for material things, that means you're out of order and that you're not doing what God wants you to do. Let me explain where my mindset is coming from. my thing is in the scriptures in Matthew chapter 6, it says that, you know, God knows everything that you're going to need. He's going to give you what you need to eat, to drink, where you need to live, what you need to wear. And he later on says that if you seek the kingdom of heaven first, all these things will be added unto you. So when situations and circumstances arise in my life where there may be a financial or material need, I don't find myself on my knees standing, whatever, anything, saying, God, you know, please, Lord, we just really need some money. I don't know how this mortgage is going to get paid. You know, maybe need a new pair of shoes or some Pampers. God, please bless. Now, I think that that's just because, I sincerely believe that that's because of the maturity that I have in my walk and because of the things that God has done for me. So once again, I don't want to say that it's an error if this is something that you do, but just know that as you continue to progress in your walk with God, you're going to find that there are things that you don't necessarily pray for anymore because you really do not need to. I'll give you an example. I have now, as far as this topic is concerned, I have a plethora of testimonies to know that God is a God of provision. But this was God, I want to say at least maybe 2 or 3 years ago, my daughter had reached that point where, you know, her shoes, it seemed like all her shoes, they just had, they ran their course, and it was time to buy some more. Well, it was a lot going on in our household at that time, and the money really was tight, you know, and I was like, okay. She's like, yeah, Mom, you know, it's about time for me to get some new shoes and stuff. And I looked, and I was like, yeah, it is. We need to do the whole thing. You need new tennis shoes, dress shoes, the whole nine. I said, okay, it's going to get handled. All of a sudden, we happen to go to Bible study. And this one woman comes up to her and says, what size shoe do you wear? And she shares the shoe size. And she's like, wow. She says, you know what? I just have a closet full of stuff. I got a gang of stuff that I need to get rid of. And I got all these shoes. I'd like to give you give you some shoes. We're like, oh, she's like, okay, cool. She's like, when I come back to church, I'll bring them to you. Have no expectations whatsoever. Sometimes when people say stuff like that to you, they bring you one or two pairs of shoes. I don't know if it had ever happened to you, but sometimes when people be saying they want to give you stuff, they just be finding a place to throw away their trash. They give you raggedy stuff. Plus, she was an older woman. She could have been giving us some stuff that might not necessarily swag with KK style, you know what I'm saying? It's just a lot of ways that this scenario could have went out. When I tell you that this woman came back to church immediately at the next service and gave her over a week's pairs of shoes, some of them that she never wore, and because she was an older, hip woman, the shoes that she actually gave to my daughter were the fly kind, the real high Nikes that go up to your calves and tie up. And then to show you just how much God was in this thing, she gave her a pair of Coach Converses, and they happened to match the same color and print of the Coach purse my grandmother had given her anywhere from 3 to 6 months prior to that. You know, so I like that because God is a God who coordinates. So, yeah, so my daughter needed shoes, and, wow, look at God. Look at how he provided. Look how he gave the provision. I'll give another example. When I had went through my divorce and I left, my baby was only 6 weeks, being that I was a hairstylist. You know, I don't work, I don't eat. I hadn't made any money. And when I found this house, I could have moved in, could have waited to move in until after I closed on it. But I had a client that was willing to loan me the money to do a possession prior to purchase. Well, when she loaned me the money, within a week's time, she came back and she said, you know what, you could just have it, and I'm still going to pay you when you get your hair done, when I get my hair done. I was like, wow, you know, thank you, Jesus. So I'm moving into this place, and I mean, I had virtually nothing. When I tell you people that I literally cried for 30 days, I had a list. And I wrote down what happened to me for 30 days because every day somebody knocked on my door and gave me something. And I'm not listing them in any particular order because they were given in the order of need. I'm talking about even the blinds for my windows, the forks, the spoons, knives, toilet tissue, groceries. And don't take this comment the wrong way either. I don't care if they would have went to Aldi's and bought me food. Me and my family had to eat. And, I mean, there's nothing wrong with if you go to Shop and Save, Aldi, whatever your stores are, discount markets where you live at in different states and stuff like that. But they bought me Uncle Ben rice, Jolly Green Giant, string beans, Aunt Jemima syrup, fresh fruit, You know, the people that gave me things, they didn't skimp on it. And in 30 days, my home was fully furnished as if I had been living there for a year. The one thing that my ex-husband did release to me was the futon set that I had, which I had paid for this really expensive cover. I had bought one of those big plush mattresses, and I used that in my living room. And it wasn't a shotgun house, but it was kind of, it was the living room and the dining room went straight back. Well, this one family actually gave me a dining room set with a rug, and it had the same browns and greens in it. I mean, look at God and how he provided. He's a God of provision. I'll take the focus off of me now and put it on someone else. The same house that I used to own when I got ready to move out of it and I rented it out, I knew that whoever moved into that house, the Lord had already told me they were going to need furniture. So it was kind of like a preliminary question when people were calling me about the house. It was like, okay, do you need any bedroom furniture, dining room furniture, blah, 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 blah. If they said no, then I already knew that they weren't the candidate. So this one man called me. We talked a little bit. He was in a hurry to move. He had a situation with his landlord. I verified everything, and I asked him did he need some stuff, and I was like, yeah. And I was like, well, these are the items that I have to leave in my house. And he was like, man, you just don't know, but I went through a divorce, and I've never really been back on my feet since then. And, you know, anything you have to leave me, it would be a blessing. So when I moved out, I left everything nice and neat. The first time I went back and got rent, why did this man have a green living room set just like I did? And one of the things that the Lord instructed me to leave back was the pine and green dining room set. So I'm giving these testimonies for a reason. Because having this whole conversation that we had on Facebook the other day, it was like, okay, if I'm walking with God, can I pray for material things? Well, you know what? Like I said, if you're not as seasoned in your walk, you may have to pray, God, please bless me to be able to do what I need to provide for my kids. And I don't see anything wrong with that. It's all about your motive. It's about what you're trying to see. Now, some people, you know, you're praying because you need a new car and you steady saying you want God to bless you with a BMW and you can't afford a Cavalier. You know, some of you have a heart because you know you want a certain thing. You want a certain status. You want to look a certain way. You know what? You know why you're seeking after the things that you're seeking after. But you have to want God more than you want anything else. And then all of those other things that you have a yearning for, yeah, I believe that God is the one that give it to you. Because you know what, even though we talk about some of these pastors on these shows, which that's another side to it. I'm not saying that I agree with all this stuff that I see. Everybody, when they do want things from God, everybody doesn't want the same thing. You know, you may want, you know, a brand-new Cavalier. Somebody else may want a Monte Carlo. Somebody else's dream, my house may be a 3-bedroom, 2.5-bath, or somebody else wants 11-bedroom, whatever. There's a reason why those desires are in your heart. And those desires are not always in people's hearts because they're just greedy and they want stuff. I, in particular, know a couple. They have a huge house. But when they got that house, they said, you know what, God did not just give us this house for us. He gave us this house for other people. And since they have had that house, there's always been a rotation of families and individuals that have needed to live with them. So we don't know why God puts it on certain people's hearts to want things, but I am a person that believes that just because you have things, that doesn't mean that you have compromised your walk with God. Okay, so I've been doing a lot of rambling. I haven't went to any scripture yet. Let's pull out our Bibles and let's go to 1 Kings chapter 3. When we go to 1 Kings chapter 3, we're going to read about Solomon. As most of us already know, Solomon was extremely rich. But let's see why Solomon was extremely rich. Here, I'm going to tell you right now he was rich because of Matthew 6 and 33 where it says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all of his righteousness and all these things will be added unto you. So 1 Kings chapter 3 says, and Solomon made affinity with the Pharaoh king of Egypt and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Only the people sacrificed in high places because there was no house built into the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was a great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer up on that altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, great mercy, according as he has walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in upright of heart with thee, and thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is to this day. And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father, and I am but a little child, and I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered, nor counted, nor multitude. Give, therefore, thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thy understanding to discern judgment, behold, I have done according to thy word. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days." And Solomon woke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings of offered peace offerings and made a feast to all his servants. Okay, so that's a mouthful. That's a lot. I chose that particular scripture, like I said, because it validates Matthew 6 and 33. If ye seek after the kingdom, then all of those things will be added unto you. So the question of do my material possessions prove that I've compromised my walk with God? The answer is no. See, we got to be real careful. Now, we know it's some people. I ain't trying to be funny. You know, I'm going to call them out. When you Kenneth Copeland and you got a freaking airport and you got people that catch the bus and walk to church, yeah, it's a problem. You can sell one of your fleet of planes, let alone your airport and everybody in your congregation, could be without lack. Because the God did also say to have your provisions to be into the church for the people to have abundance, not for you to go buck wild crazy with it. But I'm just talking about people who live modest lives. You know, I have a sister in Christ in my life. I never knew how she was living. She never came around me looking like she had it going on, but at the end of the day, she basically lives in a mini mansion. She lives in an area where I wish that I lived. You know, she's the kind of person that, you know, you can crash and total a car and then, bam, have another brand new one next weekend. You know, you got the video screens, the age you was parking and stuff like that. But you would never know this about this woman. I mean, when I say that she's humble, she prays, she serves, she does all kinds of things to help people, and she ain't doing it for show, and I know her because of my walk with her, everybody that has stuff, hey, anti-God. It don't mean you compromised, and it don't mean you sold out. if God is blessing and moving things in somebody's life, the bottom line is don't be no hater. Don't sit there and look at them like, why you got all that? Because you shouldn't have it. No. You see, here's the thing. Let me throw it out here like this. Let's give a scenario so maybe we can understand on a more practical level. You may be like, man, August, I hear you, but how is it that Sister So-and-so, who was at the strip club last night or got her boyfriend slash her boo, they curse or get drunk all the time, blah, 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 whatever it is, she been saved for all of 5 minutes, and now she got a good job, she got a better place, she got a better car, she got a husband. I ain't got none of those things. And let's just say that it ain't no faking. It wasn't because of no income tax money. She didn't trick it off. God literally did bless this individual. How many times have we looked at a person like that and then said, you know what, I don't know what they did, but Jesus wasn't in that. They manipulated it. Well, how do you know that? Because, see, here's the thing. That person may have done all of those things that I said. But maybe the one thing that they did with that boyfriend that they were shacking up with, they called him out and said, you know what, I can't do this no more. And the Lord may have really been pulling at their spirit more than anything else about shacking up. Quit shacking up. Either get married or get that man out of the house. And their obedience, because the word also says obedience is better than sacrifice, because they stepped in obedience and they stepped in alignment with God. Then, bam, God started pouring out all of the blessings. Now, for Jeffrey Jenkins over here, he may not have any of those things on his plate, but he may be bitter, angry, mean, he cuss all the time, don't have nothing good to say, but he don't sleep around, he don't get drunk, he goes to church every Sunday, et cetera, and he's still stuck in a rut. And then you're sitting there looking like, okay, well, he may have an attitude, but he ain't like Sister Spank over here. So how did all of that stuff happen to him? But how do you know that the Lord isn't pricking that man's spirit and saying, you know what? You keep on using your mouth for destruction, and I have called you to be a pastor over my people. And so since that person isn't in alignment with what God has asked them to do, he hasn't done the obedience is better than sacrifice thing so that the windows of heaven can open, begin to pour blessings out to him. So, I mean, take that in and digest it. You got two different scenarios where one person changes for a second and gets abundantly blessed. One person ain't that bad and been in front of God almost all their life, but they seem like they at a standstill. But that's not how you evaluate whether or not somebody's supposed to get blessed. You evaluate based on where the level of conviction comes from the Holy Spirit, and who decides to adhere to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Because you could want Sister So-and-so to stop fussing and cussing at her kids, but the Holy Spirit right now is saying, you know what, I got to get to this issue right over here. I got to deal with this anger and this unforgiveness before I can even get to all of that. And even though you're not with her, you're not at home when she's crying and like, God, I want to forgive her, but I can't because he raped me and blah, 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 and my parents this and so on that. But God, I want to, and I'm trying to get to. See, you're not there to see what's going on behind the scenes when they're trying to get clean, but they're being transparent with God and saying, I'm going through this stuff and I want to change, but it just keeps on eating at me. But see, I'm glad that the Bible says that God looks at the inner man and not the outer man. So God sees that person trying to change and being sincere in their heart, and therefore God abundantly blesses that individual. Versus Jeffrey Jenkins, who was sitting in church, who knew the word, he wasn't like her. He wasn't shacking up. He was stripping. He wasn't fornicating. But he was bitter and he was mean and he was angry. And he doesn't have the fullness of life because God is like, you know what? The one thing I want you to do that you will not do and you've been sitting up in church all your life is minister to my people. So since you want to do things your way, you're not going to get blessed like little mama over here who you think is a tramp. So, I mean, soak that in. Really think about it. Because how many times, I know that I've done it, that I've looked at somebody and been like, oh, how they got that? I don't know why they got blessed. They ain't supposed to have that because I know Sister Girl ain't got it right. But you know what? God had to deal with me and make me remember. I remember there was a time that I went to judgment. People believing that I should get punished and wanted God to throw the whammy down on me because I was shacking up and I knew better and I knew what the word was and what I wasn't supposed to do, but nobody was there when I was talking with who is my husband now, saying, you know, man, we really got to stop this. We weren't even going to church. And I used to tell him, man, I used to be like, man, we ain't even in church. I can't say that nobody said nothing in those scriptures. I ain't picked up no Bible. I just wake up in the middle of the night and I feel convicted because I'm laying next to you. We, you know, and of course, as long as we live with each other, we were never able to take care of that. But eventually, you know, in other testimonies, you've heard me say how God severed that thing. And then we came back and we did it right. And ever since we've been in alignment with what God wants us to do, we've watched him just continuously rain blessings down. So, you know, I kind of went a little bit on a tangent from what I was talking about before, but all of this is still connected. With the situation with Solomon, Solomon could have wanted anything in the world. Look at this. The scripture said that this man went up to the altar and gave a thousand offerings. I ain't trying to be funny, but the Bible sometimes says many, a lot, and all of that, but there's a reason for it being specific. But he gave a thousand offerings up to God. It's obvious where his heart was at. He wanted God more than anything. When we read in Scripture 11, God said that not only did he not ask for long life or riches, he also said that he didn't even ask for revenge on his enemies. Solomon asked for discernment. See, and discernment will help direct your path so you know where you're supposed to be going and what you're supposed to be doing so that you can acquire the success that you're supposed to have. So I know that there are people in the Bible who were poor, destitute, that didn't have anything. But just because you struggling or suffering, that does not validate you for being a sold-out Christian. Just like having things does not mean that you compromised your walk with God. I don't have time to judge everybody's situation. That's not what I'm doing. I'm saying listen to the things that are being said. You go back and judge your situation yourself. Because at the end of the day, whether you have money or not, do you have the fullness of a Christian life? And you know what that means, whether it's, and the primary thing is that peace that passes all understanding. You know whether or not you do or you don't really have that thing. You know whether or not you do or don't really have joy. You can come to church every Sunday all you want to, smile and you clap your hands, stomp your feet, or when you out in public, you can smile and hello and love everybody. But everybody know when you go home, if you sitting down in your chair and you crying every day, or if you lonely, or if you unhappy, or if your kids hate you and your spouse don't want to be with you and none of your coworkers want to be around you, you know, everybody can't sit here and say I'm going through these negative things just because I'm saved. Because understand the Bible says blessed are those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And if you're being persecuted just because you stink and you don't realize you stink, then you need to do a facelift. You need to do a reality check. You need to put the mirror, the word of God in front of you so that you can do some changing. Because God does want to bless you with material things as well as your spirit. But all of those material things, they are a natural byproduct of seeking God. There's no hocus pocus. There's just like with me, when we got ready to move out of the apartment that we were in, we were seeking a house. We did have a list of desires. Now, me and my husband didn't get on our knees every other day and labor and pray and go in no prayer closet and was like, God, look, we need a house and we need you to bless us with this house and we want to have this many bedrooms and bathrooms and this kind of garage and fenced in, blah, 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 blah. No. I mean, it was just one of them things like the Bible says, take the vision down and write it and make it plain. Me and my husband sat down and talked because we were focused. We believed we could have what we say. The Bible says that if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he'll give us the desires of our heart. So we wrote down a list. And we were like, we want this, 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 and this. Do you know a year after living in this house when I was going through doing some spring cleaning, I found the list and I had to look back over the list and say, wow. All of the things that we said were non-compromisable, because we did have some things that weren't a necessity, everything that was on our list got checked off. We got everything that we wanted in the house that we live in. And God is the one who has provided for us to stay in here. You know, I don't give all my business, but y'all know I'm extremely transparent. People don't even know. But as soon as we moved into this house, very shortly after, my husband got promoted, got received a job with a very good-paying company in St. Louis. But he stayed on that job for over 2.5 years without them letting him go full-time. People that were not deserving of the position were getting promoted, and he was not. They had all kinds of bogus excuses. And at the end of the day, God opened up the doors and provided in ways that to this day that job still cannot and will not ever be able to do. So, yes, do I think you necessarily need to be on bended knees somewhere begging God for everything that you want? No, I don't. But I do believe that you should be able to say to God, this is what I want, done, God, and leave it alone. Because the Bible doesn't only say to just let God provide. He does also say you have not because you ask not. Why can't you ask God for your success in your business, for whatever it is that you want? You can still speak that thing out to him. You just don't have to moan and groan and beg, because the other scripture says don't be anxious for anything. In Philippians, it says, but with a spirit of thanksgiving, make your request known to God. And knowing that his peace is going to keep you while he works that thing out. So, yeah, you can tell God what it is that you want. God is not against people in the kingdom having money. Anybody that feels like that, I don't even know what book you read. Yeah, I know people in the church back in the day that they gave up a lot of things, and some of them were poor. Even Corinthians, you see that they didn't have a lot of money, but they had abundant joy. Yeah, I know all of that. But I also know that the people that really served God, they had all that they needed. Abraham was just going. Abraham, where you going? I don't know. God just said go, and Abraham went, and in his going, everywhere he went, he got so much. Now, this is what I love about the story of Abraham. Everybody that was with Abraham got blessed. When you read all the way through the story, Abraham was blessed with so much stuff that I like to call it the residue. The residue of the riches fell off of Abraham and was even on his cousin Lot. Everybody that was with Abraham had faith. There was so much money and so many provisions and material things between Abraham and Lot that it wasn't even enough space in the land that they were in. They had to separate and go to different sections in order to be able to have space and to keep the peace between all of their people, because it was getting too crowded. So you can't tell me that you're not supposed to have. The scriptures say in Romans 16:4 that the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. So I like to look at some of the men and women of God in the Bible of past times who were abundantly blessed but also loved the Lord. So I don't know what you guys are thinking. I don't know how you're feeling. Of course, just so you know, at any given time, push 1 on the phone if you have a question or comment. We had a couple questions last week. It's kind of on a different tangent, but I do see that the caller from last week is here. If you get through and you still want to put that one out for next week, I would definitely open the door on what you think you'll be taking away from the show so that I can get that question. But I really would like some dialogue, though, with this situation right here. How does God feel about saints having material things and having an abundant amount of material things? You know, what do you all think? Do you think that when somebody's overly and abundantly blessed, that means that they must have compromised their walk? Do you judge people and look at them and say they shouldn't have that much? I don't know. And I hope that when we're thinking about this question, we're not necessarily looking at the preachers of L.A. and, you know, other people like that where it's television. It's for the purpose of exploiting. I'm talking about what we see every day. You know, when we go to churches, we look at some of the people in our churches. We see the cars they drive. We see the clothes they wear. We see the jewelry. We see how their hair is done, the whole nine. Are we judging people? Or are we looking at them funny when we should be, when God has given them something that he definitely wants them to have? Do you have what you're supposed to have? Are you skipping on what you're supposed to have? Are you denying God the ability to give you what he wants to give you? Because maybe you're hoarding. Maybe you're, and when I say hoarding, that may sound funny because you're not hoarding money. You're hoarding your circumstance. You're trying to keep things safe. I don't know what you're doing. You're not trusting God to be able to move in a certain way. Look, the Bible says that man cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon is not just money. In the translation, mammon is treasure. So that doesn't limit it to just money. It's money or things. I mean, you could be in love with your car. You'll wipe off your car before you wipe off your body. You know, I don't know. I'm just saying. So you can't serve God and money, but he didn't say you cannot have God and money. Think about it. He said where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. But he also said that giving it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaking over, running over. You know what I'm saying? You know, running together. So God is a God of abundance. He said, beloved above all things, I want you to prosper and be in good health as your soul prospers. So for people to say, well, yeah, when he said prosper, you know, he just wants you to be a good person. No, he said prosper and be in good health as your soul prospers. God wants us to have things. I mean, how do you have provisions if there are no things? So I put everything out there. I really don't have, you know, anything else to say. My encouragement to everybody is to do like Solomon did. Continuously pray to God and seek him, but also have an expectation for a reward. Because, matter of fact, I'll even bring up this scripture. In Matthew 6, remember he said, when you give your alms, do it in secret. When you pray, pray in secret. When you fast, pray in secret. He said, don't do things in the open. He said, because God, who sees you do things in secret, will reward you in the open. And so, and that's the thing. We see people sometimes getting rewarded in the open. And the way we're looking at the people when they're getting the reward sometimes is just a little bit crooked, and it should not be. But you don't know what they've been through and what level of degree of change they've made or what they're changing. And because you don't know all the details, that does not give you the right to judge and to look at the people with a crooked eye and say who does and does not deserve anything. Because you know what? If they don't deserve it, God will block it. Matter of fact, even this one. Job. I don't know why I didn't bring him up. That's who me and my 8-year-old are studying. Job was rich. As a matter of fact, oh, thank you, Jesus. Think about this. Every time you see somebody and they got it going on and you make the comment that the reason why they have what they have and the reason why they all up in God's face and praising God is because they ain't suffering and going through nothing, you sound like the devil. Excuse me? Yeah, you sound like your daddy must be the father of lies, because that's the exact thing that the devil said to God about Job. When you read the book of Job and the devil was traveling around and God was like, what you doing? He said, yeah, you know, I'm traveling, you know, to and fro, looking who I may devour. God said, have you thought about my servant Job? The devil said the only reason why Job served you was because he got it going on. He got all these different things. If he didn't have all these things, he wouldn't be serving you. You know, how many times do you look at people and think that the only reason why they love God the way they do is because they ain't going through nothing, but, oh, when they go through something, they're going to feel it. Excuse me. Everybody's walk is not the same. And everybody, I mean, I even used to say some ignorant stuff like that. I mean, so let's just keep it 100. Yeah, they got it going on now. Yeah, but if this happened and that happened, I wonder how they'd be feeling. Oh, excuse me. How you know they didn't already have it and got it going on experience or whatever it is, or maybe they never had to go through that because the way that they were brought up or the way their spirit was trained and grown from day one, it's just certain things they did not deal with. I don't know. But that's what the devil said about Job. So when you talk like that about a brother and sister in Christ, you sound like the devil. But God said, you know what's on here? And calamity after calamity after calamity came to Job. He couldn't even get news about one bad thing before another bad thing. And every time somebody was in the middle of talking, the house, the cattle, the servants, every time he turned around, somebody couldn't finish their sentence before somebody else escaped and said, let me tell you what happened. And he still did not hurt God. And when the enemy was allowed to touch his body, he still did not curse God. He didn't curse the day he was born. He got a little depressed for a second. He got a little upset. But he never cursed God. But the thing about it is, you know, for the people that think, if I'm going to serve God, I got to give up everything that I have. That's going to prove that I love God, that if I live as a miser, I got to let it all go. Who said that that's so? Now, Job was put into a special set of circumstances where he was without. Everything was taken from him. He still sought the kingdom of God, and at the end of the story, it says that God gave him double everything that he lost. And it says man continued to give unto his bosom. So really, he got more than double. God gave him double, and then he had other people to keep raining a blessing on him. So, I mean, think about that. Yeah, maybe they humble you. I ain't going to try to rationalize it or none of that stuff. Maybe you have went through a season where you've had to try and you've had to push in order to get where it is that, you know, you're going in your life and for the Lord to deal with you. But that doesn't mean that that's a place where you're supposed to stay. Not when you trust in him and in believing in him. That doesn't line up with the will of God for you to stay in a place of being funky. And I ain't trying to be funny. Half of us ain't even got it going on like Job. Job, it says how he worshiped God and he sacrificed on behalf of his family and stuff like that. Man, please. The Job had it going on. But once again, this is another man in the Bible that was rich. They had abundance. And the devil said the same kind of things that I was saying, judging people based on the material things that they had to discern whether or not they really did or didn't walk with God. Yeah, I know in some countries people are dying. I know in some countries, you know, they just talked about the 33 people that built over like 500 churches in Korea that were going to be executed. Yeah, I heard about that. My pastor brought it up. You know, I don't know why it's happening like that in one place versus another. I could rationalize it, and please don't quote me on this and saying that this is the answer, but we know that here in America, even though it's raggedy as all get out, America was rooted in the things of God. The Ten Commandments were in the Supreme Court, Bible scriptures everywhere, acknowledgement of the Constitution and all that stuff. If you really study history, you can see where there were scriptures to validate each section. I want to say that it's in, but I don't want to quote because I don't want to quote it wrong, but even the structure of government having three parts, the executive, judicial, and legislative branch, all that came from out of the Bible. You know, for people that study that deep, I advise you to get the American Heritage series. It's about like 10 DVDs. But when you look at that and look at the actual original document, America has been rooted in Christianity, even though some people they kind of played and dibbled and dabbled a little bit and forsook God. But in a lot of these foreign countries, they recognize witchcraft and Buddha and all other kind of different gods. So maybe what they are going through in their countries right now is a little bit more hardcore because they've been rooted in so much demonic stuff that to try to change that, it's a different dynamic as far as what goes on with converting to Christianity. We don't go through that type of torture in here in America because the foundation of the government was Christianity in the first place. But when your foundation was demonic and it's what's ruling the government where you are, then the trials and circumstances are going to be different cultures. But anyway, I kind of got to rambling and going somewhere else. The bottom line is I encourage all of you out there that are listening to see God, to seek his kingdom, and expect him to provide. Expect him to do things for you that you won't even have to do for yourself. Expect to keep a little money in your pocket and not have to go and buy clothes or shoes because he's going to give them to you. Or expect that when you do go buy them, even if you're a man, and men's clothes is usually more expensive than women's, it's going to be 50% off. Expect to see God to open doors, yes, even for you to have material things. Just don't let the material thing be anywhere near a comparison to the heavenly things, which is your Father. So I thank everybody for joining in today, as usual. I pray that it was enlightening and it made you think. I hope that you're dreaming and believing a great gift that God has manifested in you and pressing forward to be whoever it is that he's going to want you to be and having a desire to have all that he wants you to have. So I want to pray us out, and we will see what we have. Oh, hold up. I think we may have a question or comment. Okay. Well, before I do that, I have a comment.
Hey, everybody. I just wanted to put a couple of scriptures out there because my mom said a lot about asking God for certain things. And so I just wanted to give you a couple of scriptures where it actually tells you to ask God, you know, for certain things. Specifically, there's a scripture in James chapter 1 when it's talking about if you lack wisdom, then ask God, because he is the God who gives generously without reproach, and it will be given to you. But let him who ask in faith and do not doubt, or you will be like a wave that's in the sea, tossed and driven by the wind. But also in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11, is basically telling you, you know, ask and it will be given, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened. And it talks about even evil people know how to give good gifts, and these are material things, because clearly evil people don't know how to give you spiritual gifts. And it says, if evil people can give you good gifts, how much greater do you think your God in heaven can give you amazing gifts? And there are plenty of other scriptures where God is saying, truly, you know, if something is in your way, like the mountain, tell it to move, and it will happen, and whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive, because God does not want his children lacking in anything. So I just wanted to put that out there.
No, I mean, thank God for that. I think that was awesome that you shared those scriptures, just more reinforcement to what's being said. Y'all know how I am. Sometimes I'll be like, get your pen, write this scripture, this scripture, this scripture, this scripture, and sometimes I'm just speaking and it just comes out of me and I don't even realize that I'm not giving scriptures to back it up. And some of those scriptures I thank God, because I hadn't thought about those ones in particular, you know, so I thank you for bringing those forward. But yes, let's ask God for what it is that we need, and let's, as I said, have an expectation to get them. So let's pray out. I thank everybody for joining in. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you because you are sovereign. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are the provider of everything it is that we need. We just pray, God, that you keep continuing to fill our spirit, man, to fill our mind and our hearts with all of the knowledge and wisdom of you, God, so that we will walk through the doors that you want us to walk through, so that we will be where you want us to be, say what you want us to say, do what you want us to do, God, so that you can manifest whatever that thing is in us that you want to come out to be a testimony to the world, God. And we thank you that that testimony doesn't necessarily have to look like a preacher or a teacher, God, but it's in the gift that you've given us. It may be in talents, whether that's in artistic abilities, music, businesses, or whatever it is, God, because you said in all things that we do that we're supposed to do it unto the glory of you, God. So help us to see how we move forward, God, and we thrust and thrive to be the men and women that you want us to be. I thank God that everyone that is listening to this message, that you are receiving an abundant amount of success, even in the spiritual realm, more than you know. And I thank you because you're connecting things for people, God, so that they can begin to see the manifestation on the physical level, God, and in abundance and quickly. There's open doors and begin to let your saints walk down the path that you want to. You keep doing what you're doing on the spiritual realm, but you begin to manifest, God, and let us see what you're doing on the physical. So we thank you for directing our path. We thank you for giving us the desires of our heart. We thank you for giving us the kingdom, and we thank you for giving us knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Can't wait to talk to you all next week.